Good afternoon, my friends. This is the second follow-up talk to the 1955 Kahlua Study Series. And it is going to be posted to our little group. There are 8 of us now, and soon to be 10. I guess there are 3 men and 5 women. There's 2 more going to join us. This group comprises what I feel, not what I think, not what I judge to be, but what I feel are individuals who are dedicated to discerning and practicing the principles of bearing witness to the nothingness of error and bearing witness to the activity of Christ. This really is what our single-minded focus is on now. And in the Kahlua Study Series, it brought us to hopefully to the threshold, if not to the actual experience of Christ, of Spirit. It taught us how to move away from the letter and just knowing the letter so that we might have the actual experience of Christ. Because we know that while knowing the letter can help us calm down some, we know that when we're confronted with a problem, our own or somebody else's, knowing the letter as a mental activity can help us to settle down. But then if we jump in there and try to know the truth also as a mental activity, well, the results of healing, of harmony, of peace, of restoration of our soul will be very small, because Christ is not a mental activity. Truth is not a mental activity. And so the infinite way is I would say it's unique. I have never seen an approach like that anywhere else on the face of the earth, because it's the only approach I know where you use the mental to rise above the mental. It's a very strange thing. Now, today, on the No Answer to This group, there was a question that was posed. And it wasn't meant to be just rhetorical. The question is, how can we bear witness to Christ on a more consistent basis? And I'm serious about that. I assume by now every one of us has had the experience, whether on purpose or on accident, of bearing witness to Christ, to the activity of Christ. Sometimes we can get so frustrated with the problem that's confronting us that we throw up our hands in despair and just say, "Oh God, please, I can do nothing about this. Take over." And in that moment of nothingizing ourselves, of realizing at depth that of myself I can do nothing, there's a vacuum created, and we feel the movement of Spirit. I like to say it that way because that's the way it feels to me. The movement of Spirit, or the quickening, we feel it. And wow, is that it? And yes, the solution to our problem happens. We don't make it happen, we don't try to make it happen, but in our desperation, in our sense of emptiness, into that vacuum, God rushes in. And we're not sure how we did it, and we try to duplicate it with our mind, and it won't duplicate, and it can be frustrating. But I'm assuming that everyone here, whether intentionally or on accident, has had the experience now, so that you know, this is real, this works, this is the way, this is my way. What way? Well, the infinite way. If you've had the experience, then you are a student on the infinite way. In the infinite way. And so for all of us, the question is, how can we practice these principles so that this experience of God rushing in can be on a more consistent basis? Because as we all know, Joel has told us repeatedly, eventually we must reach the point where we are a continuous, constant state of awareness or state of receptivity. In other words, we are vessel or channel, instrument for this inflow of spirit on earth as it is in heaven. Now that's our destiny, if you like. That's our calling. And every one of us here has heard the call. I am certain of it. And so, as I say, there will be two more joining us shortly, which will be 10. And then we'll play it by ear after that. I'm certain there will be 1, 2, 3 here and there that will reveal that they are practicing these principles, and then the invitation will go out. Now, where we are going from here, I have no idea. It may be just a little gathering somewhere, one of these fine days, for a series of classes in person. I don't know. I have no idea. But here we are today, and getting back to the question, how do we do this on a more consistent basis? First of all, I want to point out a couple of things that have revealed themselves. I'm sure you've seen them before, but it doesn't hurt to see them again. We know from reading, listening, and studying chapter 10 and 12 of the Kalua Study Series. Well, let's just go look at the exact quote. It says, in this new approach, new approach to what? New approach to prayer, really. It says, the first difficulty you will experience in ceasing from the old form of prayer or treatment is when you begin to observe discords, inharmonies out in the world, because your first reaction will be to return to the way in which we have originally been taught, that of denying the error and knowing the truth. But now you must take an entirely different approach and see what happens. Take specific note of what happens as you follow this new approach. Now, most of us, as we first came to metaphysics and then the infinite way, we sat down to pray or meditate, and the first reaction we had was to deny the error and to know the truth. Now you can see that that was all on a mental basis, right? Here's an error. Let's say someone calls me and says, I have this physical problem and it's scaring me. Will you please work for me? and we meaning well and having a heart full of love, we say, yes, certainly, I'll do that right now, or you just be still. And then we hang up the phone or go to our quiet place, our quiet room, our quiet chair. We sit down to meditate, and we're anything but quiet. We close our eyes, and immediately we start thinking. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's the way it's supposed to be when you're new at this. He says so. That's how you practice the letter. And you can't get to the spirit if you haven't practiced the letter. So we sit down, we close our eyes, we think something like, this is an appearance, this is an image and thought, this is a nothingness. You know, we're rehearsing in our mind that which we've read in the books. And there's nothing wrong with that. So we're rehearsing in our mind, this is a mental image, a nothingness, no power, no law, no cause, and on and on and on. And we're repeating that in our minds over and over until we get somewhere near quiet. And then we jump to the knowing of the truth in our minds, and we're saying to ourselves, but only God is here. God is omnipresent. God is the only presence, the only law, the only substance, and so on. You can see all of this is still mental. It's still the letter. Mental and letter, they go together. Spirit and spirit, they go together. So if you're knowing the letter, you're still mentally doing this. Now there's nothing wrong with that. Except for, well, one little problem. And that is, that process will calm you down inside. It will make you quiet. It will get the mind where it slows down and isn't quite so frantic. And it will feel familiar and it will feel comfortable. But we learned most definitely in the Kailua Studies series that that's not enough. There's another step. And nowhere was it so beautifully described as in that chapter where he said, now is where the work really starts. Where we enter the silence. After we've been knowing all this truth for an hour, you remember? He talks about the class. After he talks to the class and he says, after we've been knowing this truth just now for this hour, now comes where the work really starts. And that's where we enter the silence. Because in the silence, that's where spirit is witnessed. You don't witness spirit in the mind. Spirit is not in the mind. God's not in the whirlwind. Now, the whirlwind was never talking about a problem out here on earth. The whirlwind is the mind. And God's not in the mind. God's not in that mental process. That's why you haven't had a healing. Because God's not in that mental process. Even though it helped you to calm down, that's not where the real work takes place. The only place you can witness Christ, witness Spirit, is when you enter the silence. So Joel tells us here, now the basis of the new approach is this. No activity of thought is a healing influence. Therefore, no matter what you know with your mind, it is not going to heal anybody or help anybody. Well, I guess that's what we just said, isn't it? And so, when you observe discords and inharmonies in the world, you are to take no thought. You are going to stop. Stop. Have no opinion, no judgment. You are going to make no statement of denial of the error or affirming of the truth. You are not going to let your human mind into this picture whatsoever. You're no longer going to say, this is no part of God, no law, no substance. Nor are you going to say, only God is here. Only the presence of God is here. Only the presence of God is power. you're going to say none of this. You're going to put your finger on, well, the lips of your mind. If you can't stand still, if you have to declare something, if you must declare something or think something, Joel says, let it be something like, thy grace is my sufficiency. But it must, and here's the critical point here, ladies and gentlemen, if you must think something, it must be something that is not pertinent to what you are seeing or observing. If it is pertinent to what you are seeing, then the mind has entered the argument. You're still in the mental, and you won't contact the spirit. So he says, you are going to stand aside without any judgment as to whether this is of the devil or whether it is of God. You are simply going to turn within yourself and wait and wait and wait. You're going to wait for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. Now, this is totally different for most of us from what we have been practicing, because it may be years now that we've been in the infinite way, and we have sat down to meditate, and we have rehearsed all of these statements of the nothingness of error, and we have rehearsed all these statements of the allness or the omnipresence of God, and we have stopped there. And although that has helped us to calm down, it has not contacted that spirit. We have not been able to bear witness to the activity of spirit or to the movement of spirit within us. But in this new approach, which all of us in this room should be practicing and are practicing, we are no longer going to do that, even though we've been doing it for years. And I can tell you personally that I am also one that had done that for years, sometimes accidentally having a moment of quiet, moment of silence, sometimes out of desperation, as I said before, throwing up my hands, this just doesn't seem to be working, oh God help me. But accidentally touching that spirit and seeing harmony revealed, and going away thinking that it was because of all this mental activity that the miracle happened. Now Joel is lifting us, Christ is lifting us through Joel, through me, through your own experiences. Christ is lifting us to a higher level so that we don't do this accidentally maybe once a year, twice a year, so that we do this on a more consistent basis. Now listen to something that's probably familiar to you. And yet, until I came to the Kaluuya Study Series, I never saw it quite as clearly. But here it is. This is the book called The Art of Spiritual Healing. Now listen, and put this in up next to what we just quoted from the Kaluuya Study Series, and see if what he says there is not right here, and was not right here the entire time, all these years. He says, in spiritual healing, whether the claim is named Jones, Brown, Smith, whether the claim is cancer, consumption, polio, and consumption is tuberculosis, polio, or whether the claim is unemployment, depression, unhappy relationships, whatever the claim is being presented to you, do not be tricked into treating persons or conditions. Leave them alone and get back to the substanceless substance, to which you can give any name you like: carnal mind, hypnotism, suggestion, appearance. It can be anything, as long as you interpret it as meaning nothingness, no substance, no law, no cause. So that right there is the very first statement in this new form of prayer. Someone presents a problem to us, we say, yes, I'll help you. We drop them completely out of our mind, and we simply say, no answer to this. Right? That's the first part right there. Now, he says, when you really begin to comprehend that in healing, you are not dealing with people, when you learn to eliminate them and their claim from your thought, and in every instance deal with the root of the problem, which is nothingness, you will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence within you. This presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. And the barrier is the belief in two powers. The barrier is the belief in something apart from God. So, whereas in years past, we may have taken and mentally declared all of these things about error, the error that is confronting us, how it's a nothingness and a no power and a non-substance and on and on and on. In this new approach, we are no longer going to do that. That is so well established in your mind that if you took a test, and even if it was an essay test, you would pass. You know how now to declare that. And it's time to give all that up. And I know it's scary. You feel like you're floating in a sea of nothingness, nothing to grab onto, no life preserver. We have been hanging on to the abject mental exercises as a life preserver while we're going under the water. It's not working. And if it did work once upon a time, it's no longer working now. So we're being told, suggested to, hinted, that we have to come up higher. So that now, when you are presented with a problem, yours or someone else's, you simply can say one word. Now that word can be as simple as hump, or it could be a three-syllable word, nothingness. Or it can be what Joel suggested, no answer to this. In other words, we are withdrawing any mental effort. Now get this. We're confronted with a problem. Hello, can you help me? I have a physical problem, and it's scaring me. And you say yes in the most loving way you can. Yes, I will help you. You hang up the phone. You're done with them. You are completely done with them. Unless they write you back and say there's still a problem, you are completely done with them. Now, what do? You sit down and close your eyes and rehearse all these things mentally? No. You've got to come up higher. It's time for you, my friend. And so, you sit down and the mind wants to do this because it's done it for years. And that's the point where you take over and say, no answer in the mind. I'm not using the mind. Now, nothingness, or whatever word you like, or maybe no word at all. He suggests you don't use any word. You simply say, uh-uh. No answer to this. And then if you must think something that has nothing to do with this. So, you see, if you sit down and you close your eyes and immediately you start thinking, well, this is a mental image, there's no power. What are you doing? You have entered the mind and you are arguing with the mental image. That's a mental process, and you can't find God there, and you can't witness spirit there. So he's saying, in the Kailua study, no longer do that. And he's saying here, in the Art of Spiritual Healing, you will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware of a spiritual presence, which is the same as saying you will find how quickly you will be able to witness the activity of Christ. Right? Now you can't feel that. You can't become consciously aware of that presence, or you can't witness the activity of Christ until you are free of the barrier. And the barrier is the belief in two powers. So how are you going to get free of the barrier or the belief in two powers? Well, you're not going to do it by arguing with it mentally. You've got to find a new way, a new approach, he calls it. Now he says in here, the minute you have really made the carnal mind a nothingness, you no longer have to fight, not physically, not mentally. You can do just what it says in Scripture. You can rest in His Word. You can rest in this Word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. For years after I had learned to recognize that all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, depression, or mesmeric sense or hypnotism, and you've learned that, you know that well enough to pass a test. The puzzle was to discover how to break that hypnotism. What could I do? A hypnotist just snaps his fingers and his subject awakens, or he wills him to awaken. But this we can't do, because on the spiritual path we are not permitted to use physical or mental power. And I tell you, if you are arguing within yourself that this is a mental image, it has no power, no law, no substance, blah, 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 you are still on the mental plane. And on the spiritual path, you're not allowed to do that. Not anymore. Before we were children playing with mental toys. Now we are being asked to mature, to come into our spiritual maturity. And so we have to set aside those mental, attempting to use mental power. You cannot witness that presence and the activity of that presence. You cannot witness spirit. You cannot witness Christ if you are involved in that mental activity, because you are just where Christ is not. So, Joel says, then I discovered the scriptural passage, which you will find throughout the writings. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Without hands. By the time I had spent some months puzzling on this, puzzling on its obscure meaning, the answer began to be apparent. The weapon against error, our offense and our defense, is something that is not physical and not mental. No action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. Now you see, there it is right there. There's the 1955 Kailua study series on page 67 in my book of The Art of Spiritual Healing. The last two paragraphs, he gives us the exact answer. And this was in 1959, 4 years after the Kailua study series. He's still trying to teach us the principle. And the principle is our offense. Now, an offense is something that goes out there and does something, and our defense is something that, what, protects you? All of that must come from something that is neither physical nor mental. No action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. Now, he's trying to tell us right there that we must come to the place where we practice, no answer to this, and we stop. We exercise not one single mental offense or defense. None. Not one. We exercise no mental statements, no mental activity. We stand still and we wait and wait and wait for the presence, for the awareness of God. We wait in order to witness something that's not mental or physical. He says, as you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, not of your mind, deeper, then you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder, and eventually a state of peace will come. And then when you're not involved in the mental, when you're standing still as a witness, then you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Just God is. He says, when you are not thinking words or thoughts, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. The hypnotism is stopped. When you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. And so there, in The Art of Spiritual Healing, in my book, it's all marked up. It's all underlined and starred and arrowed, and there's notes in the margin. It is because I searched this book to find the secret before finding the 1955 Kailua Study Series, and I found it. I found it in the paragraphs I have just read. And I wrote here in the margin, way back when, when you are free from person or condition, then you can rest and spirit is realized. It just comes. You wait upon the Spirit of the Lord, and it just comes. So, is that not exactly what he was trying to bring us to? And is trying to bring us to? From the invisible, he's still working, trying to bring us all to this point of acceptance of Christ. He is trying to bring us to the point, first in our meditation, where we step out of the mental ways we have used in the past, recognizing that God's not in the whirlwind. And so, no answer. I cease to fight, not by might nor by power. I am simply going to rest. Now, Father, thy grace. I stand a little to the side. I of myself can do nothing. I stand to the side, a witness. Christ liveth. Christ flows. Let me witness the Christ. And in the beginning, the mind, the conditioned mind, jumps up and immediately says, well, this is a mental no, no, no. I'm stopping. I'm standing still. I await you, Lord. And here comes the mind again, trying to imitate the Christ. And it starts to say, only God is present. God is individual being. But I recognize it's the mind again. No. No, thank you. I stand still. Father, you speak. I stand a little to the side. Christ liveth. And he says, we wait for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And if you've waited, you've got calm, you've gotten peaceful inside, but you have not felt that transcendental presence. You have not witnessed the activity of Christ. You have not received a feeling of the presence, then you get up and go about your business. Because if you sit there longer than 5 minutes, if you think, well, I'm going to have a prolonged 30-minute meditation, then you're going to drift back into the mental and convince yourself that it's spiritual. But you won't be able to convince anyone else, because it's by their fruits that you know them. So if you're still having problems, then you haven't had the experience. You've drifted back into the mental and convinced yourself that it's the Christ. Because when God speaks, the earth melts. When that presence is upon you, it dissolves the illusion of sense perception. When you witness the activity of Christ, that light dissolves the darkness. The harmony within, or the peace within, that Christ peace, that Christ presence, appears as the harmony without. And so if you have the experience, it meets the problem. Alright, now, in the book The Infinite Way, in the chapter Spiritual Illumination, something that, well, there's a paragraph in here that is quite wonderful, and it fits in with exactly what we're talking about. It says, spiritual illumination, now by spiritual illumination, we understand what that means, don't we? That's what we've been talking about here for almost 40 minutes. Spiritual illumination is not your mental thoughts on the nature of error, and it's not your mental thoughts on the nature of God. Spiritual illumination is that which happens when you come to the end of any thinking, when you find that practice which allows you to stand still and rest back as a witness. Then spiritual illumination floods your being, like the picture I put up on the mystical principles list. A picture of the sunbeam shining in the dark forest. This is spiritual illumination that floods your being as you find that ability to rest back without words or thoughts. And so, spiritual illumination reveals the harmony of being and dispels the evidence of material sense. It does not change anything in the universe, for this is a spiritual universe, peopled with children of God. But the illumination, the spiritual illumination, changes our concept of the universe. And why is that important? Because we're so conditioned to believe that there's a within and a without. And if only I can contact this within, it'll change the without. But that's not it. That's not the full and complete picture. That's a sense of duality. I must go within to change the without. I have two. I have a within and a without. I have a my kingdom, and I have a this world. And I'm trying to make that contact, witness the activity of Christ so that there can be a change in this world. Now, I know it's kind of strange because that is, in fact, one of the reasons why we sit down to meditate is because we need to contact that presence within in order to meet the problem that's being presented to us. But Joel had a secret, didn't he? Joel's secret was he knew that you live and move and have your being in your state of consciousness. It's thundering outside here, so if the computer goes off while I'm making this talk, it's okay because I saved it already. Now, Joel's secret was he knew that you live in your own consciousness. Remember the tumbler? Remember the tumbler? The within of the tumbler and the without of the tumbler? You're living in your own state of consciousness. And so when these things are presented, they're not taking place out here. Again, stop thinking of this in terms of God meeting a human problem. That's not what we're doing. And that's not what we're about. You've got to forget the person and the condition. That's not what you're doing. You're entering your consciousness there to meet one thing only. And that is this belief that's presenting itself to your consciousness. And so all you want to do is stand still so that the belief is still and you can witness the activity of Christ, which reveals the nothingness of the belief and the allness of itself. So we are entering consciousness so that the light may shine, so that Christ's light may enter our consciousness and reveal the nothingness of a belief and the allness of itself, of the Christ. So we're not going within so that God can do something out here. We're going within in the understanding that there is a belief presenting itself to my consciousness. And what can I do about that belief? Nothing. No answer to this. Now, I stand still. I stop. I wait upon the Lord. Father, thy grace. And if you wait and wait that 3 to 4 to 5 minutes and nothing happens, you get up and go about your business. And as he says, an hour later, you try it again. And an hour after that, and an hour after that. And the time will come when you will stand fast and experience that transcendental presence. You will feel something, not physical, not mental, something transcendental. You will have an awareness of God, and you'll know it. You won't wonder if you've had it. You'll know it. You'll know it. Ah, ah, that's what it feels like. Then you will experience that inner release at the same time. There's a feeling of, oh, thank you, Father. Sometimes it has a scripture with it, but most often it doesn't. There's just a feeling of release as you feel that presence the way I did a moment ago. And it's beautiful. It's something you can't describe. You can't put words to it. But you know you've had it. Because, well, it never leaves you guessing. You know. And when you have that experience, you'll find that in the minutes or hours or days that follow, whatever that belief that was presented to your consciousness, it dissolves. It dissolves in some normal, natural way. Sometimes you even forget about it. You forget that it was even presented. So deep is the release you experience in that meditation, where you are able to witness the activity of Christ instead of a mental activity. You forget about it until the person writes again or calls again, and you go, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And they write you or they call you and they say, you know, this thing just slowly dissolved, or this opportunity opened up, or I found a solution over here. And you say, well, that's wonderful. But you're not fooled. You know nothing was met out here. But your realization of Christ appeared as harmony. So do you see? I hope this answers the question, how do we do this on a more consistent basis? We roll up our sleeves, we get to work. We put it into practice. I know sometimes it can be frustrating. As I said before, sometimes you feel like you're floating in the middle of nothing with no life preserver to hang on to. But if you are faithful, consistent, persistent, you really will find the everlasting arms swooping in to lift you up. Christ does respond. Or rather, where there is an opening, a silence of mental activity, even a silence of knowing the truth, there, in that silence, you are permitted to invite Spirit to flow. As Joel says, Christ, or Father, here, use my emptiness. Let my silence be thy dwelling place. And in that silence, you feel it. You feel the movement of Spirit. And you know it's not of the mind. And you know there are no words or thoughts attached to it. And you don't know how it reveals the nothingness of the belief. But you do know that it does, as you witness its activity again and again in your consciousness. Today we released the series of 50 talks on the 1955 Kailua Study Series to everyone on the list. I feel that sitting on it for a year and a half was long enough. And now everyone can have it. And hopefully, being a fisher of men, one or two or three or five out of the 200 will begin to take hold of this, practice it, and join us over here. as we walk in the fellowship of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, governed by the Spirit, and one in the Spirit. And this talk is the second in the follow-up, and I'm not sure if there will be more. It is my pleasure and my joy to keep us focused, myself included, so that we do not drift back into the mental activity which brings little or no results, so that we stay focused in this new approach of waiting, witnessing, beholding. We really can reach that place where first in our meditations we are a witness, perhaps for a moment or two, perhaps only a few seconds, to the place in our meditations where we behold and witness the activity of Christ for minutes, to that place in our life and our living experience where, as we walk this earth, as we talk, as we drive our cars and shop, buy and sell, we are also a witness with eyes open. To that place where we are instruments for the divine presence to be on earth as it is in heaven. To that place where heaven and earth are one. We are going to do this. I feel certain. Thank you for taking the time to listen, for inviting me or allowing me to be in your consciousness. It is a sacred place, and I know this, and I thank you. Blessings.